You are listening to Empower Me with Ari.
Hey, royal family, this is Queen Erica Holmes Harris. Welcome to the Empowerment Channel Worldwide. I am so excited that you guys decided to join me on the show Chosen. And so today I wanted to go ahead and to share the word of the Lord, the message that God has given me, and he has just been tugging at my heart in regards to sharing this today. And so I felt a pull this morning to go ahead and to release this word. And so I pray that it encourages you all. And I'm going to be doing kind of a lot of reading, but I'm just going to share what God says, and then we're going to move on, okay? And so, dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and I just say thank you. Thank you that you answer all things. Thank you that you are the great I am, and there's none greater than you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for all that you're doing in this hour, in this time, in this season, in the lives of your people. Thank you for your divine order that we may go forth and carry out and do all that you have called and created for us to do, keeping the divine order with you first. Help us, heal us. Lord, deliver us, do what you need to so that we will only give you the glory. We say and pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. And so I am excited to be amongst you all. And so, the Lord had begun to talk to me about God bringing us back to himself, having the divine order that he wants. And so I'm going to just share. I feel led to kind of share and talk a little bit first, and then I'm going to jump right into these scriptures so that we can understand what God is saying in this hour. And so God was saying, I'm bringing you all back to myself. I'm bringing you back to myself. And I want us all to begin to take this personally. Don't look at a title that you have. Don't look at, hey, I'm the such and such over this, or I'm the, such and such over this, or, people look up to me, so this can't be a word for me. No. We have to humble ourselves and begin to understand that it all begins and starts with God, period. God is looking for a people that will not compromise, right? So we're not going to compromise because of whatever it is, delay, being discouraged or whatever it is, or even for the fear to please man, whatever it is, a fear of man. And so we have to get back to literally our first love once again. And so again, this message is for us all. Again, when God gives me messages, listen, I take it and eat of it first and say, okay, all right, examine me, cleanse me, cover me with your blood and your love. And so I encourage us while I'm sharing the message that God gave to really take it for ourselves. Sometimes we can, look at something and say, oh, this would be so good for such and such, or, oh man, that word would be perfect for such and such. But there's a hard-heartedness about, surrounding the cavity of the heart, surrounding the heart that wants a person to continue in arrogance and to continue in pride, to not receive or to do what the Lord is calling for them to do. And that is literally to humble ourselves before him and to say, God, it is you who makes me who I am today. It is you who will announce my name amongst the masses. It is you who allows me to have everything that I need. And so I want us to really seriously humble ourselves to take in this message today. And so God is again saying that he is bringing us back to himself, his divine order. His divine order back to our first loves. And so I have been feeling that, especially after reading this passage of scripture, that some people have been exhausted. Some people have been discouraged. Some people have just in the process of life have just slowly allowed themselves to kind of put God on the back burner, to kind of say, my day is busy with all of these things, And I'll give God the 10 minutes, you know, at the beginning of the day. And God is more interested in relationship. If we can spend time with him all throughout the day, he understands that most people, you know, may have lives, productive lives as per se, that may need to do things that the Lord has called for us to do. But God is looking for a relationship. He wants us to relate to him, not just 10 minutes, 30 minutes within a day, but all throughout the day. As we wake up, we say, God, just so good. And we begin to feel his presence. We begin to say, there's none like you. We begin to literally feel just him all over us. And when we get in the car, we're able to drive down and look at the scenery and say, oh God, you are so magnificent. Like, not out of religious service of our lips, not just saying something just to be saying it, but really to have a heart, have really a heart posture of love for the Lord, a heart posture of gratitude for who and what he is. I'm trying to tell you, my God, he is looking for those who he can also say, I know you, right? I know you too. And so in the book of Jeremiah, we understand that God said, I know you. He said, I knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. But how many of us can say that back to God because we've spent time with him, right? We spent time, and how many of us can he say, I'm familiar with your prayers. I'm familiar with hearing your voice. How many of us can say that without just using a title, without just saying, you know, I'm a man or woman of God? How many of us can truly say that behind the scenes that we truly know God? See, and this is not a message of condemnation, but this is a message of love. Again, it starts, God gave this to me first. And so to be able to commune with God all throughout the day, right? Even if it's 10 minutes here, 5 minutes here, but it's throughout the day, not just giving God, you know, 10 minutes in the morning and forgetting about him, being so exhausted and never coming back to him, but almost looking at it like I've checked spending time with God off the box. Listen, my God, geez, oof, my God, it makes me emotional because oftentimes we can get caught up in this religious system of appeasing or pleasing people and allowing ourselves to compromise our relationship with God, to compromise the word of the Lord, to compromise just to please a person. And this is not the will of the Lord. And I'm not saying we go and disrespect, absolutely not. You have maturity, saints, right? But what I'm saying is, my God, if God is calling for us to carry and walk in a standard, how dare we water the standard down? How dare we go with a form or a fashion that we think is religiously acceptable, but have we asked the Lord, is it relationally acceptable with him first? We have to be more, literally, I'll say concerned, or have our heart postured more focused toward relationally acceptable with the Lord versus religiously acceptable, because what that means is sometimes there's a fashion and an order set by man, set by a person, and it can keep a person in bondage. It can keep people in bondage because it can literally cause us to compromise our relationship with God by idolizing man, by, you know, not sharing 100% of what the Lord tells us to say, or not going in the flow 100% the way that the Lord tells us to flow. We have to answer to God at the end, the beginning of the day. Nobody can walk out our salvation but us. This is a walk of salvation, literally alone. And I don't mean you can't have support. I mean, at the end of the day, out of your mouth, you have to make a confession that Jesus is Lord and that you're going to literally, you know, have your being in him, you know, have his being in you, literally move in tandem, in partnership, in sync with what it is that he's saying. Nobody can force or say, you know, I didn't sin, or I didn't, you know, I spent time with God, so you don't have to. The devil is a liar. We all have to take an account, and God is saying, come back to your first love. Can we say, after all that we do, right? We don't want to go out and judge people. Oh, yeah, they busy. They always doing this, always doing that. So they never spend time with God. How dare us? We have to be willing to say and do that within ourselves and say, at the end of the day, at the end of the week, I want to be able to take account of my communion with the Lord, right? I want to be able to know that it's so real, my God, that when he says, pray, that no matter what's going on, even if I have to just pray in the spirit in my mind, which honestly is, I believe, the first way of communication anyway, by thought. And so first way of communication by thought, Adam and Eve by thought. I won't go too deep and say that now, that's a whole nother session, but I want to us to realize, if God says, you know, pray, that we don't ignore and that we just say, oh, I'll get to it later. No. That right now that you begin to think, even if you have to speak in tongues for 10 seconds or whatever it is, to be obedient to what the Lord is saying, because guess what? There's a reason why he's saying it. And it's also building up that intimacy, that relationship with the Lord. Again, I feel the Lord is saying he's bringing us back to himself. Himself first, back to our first love, really, back to our first love. And so I'm going to share this message. And so I firmly believe God's order is here. His order is here. And people may look around and say, well, why is this happening? Or why is this happening in this part of my life or that part of my life? I believe God's order is here. And it's not by what I'm, you know, with my five senses. This is by the Spirit, that his order is here. And he's saying, listen, it may be uncomfortable for you right now, but he wants us to wake up and to get it. Come back to our first love. And this is, coming back to your first love is not, you know, somebody necessarily that is, oh, you've sinned and fallen away from the Lord. We all sin in some way, thoughts, things in our heart at times, things we say, how we look and say, ooh, that person look good, whatever, that's lust. You know, you may lust after somebody. And this is why we all need Jesus. This is why he came, because his blood is the ultimate sacrifice that will be able to be sufficient for all of that, right? And so coming back to the Lord again means, let me do my relationship accountability. Let me do my relationship accountability. And so I want us to begin to really get into this place, because I firmly believe that there's about to be some magnificent manifestations of God. I like to say God in everywhere. God manifesting himself everywhere. And that happens, my God, when we allow him to be made even greater in our lives. When we tell that fleshly nature, which is the old nature, it's the fallen nature. When we speak of flesh or carnality, that's the fallen nature. Not necessarily, you know, hey, blown into from the dust of the ground. No. The fleshly fallen nature came into account after the fall, right? So we don't fall back into the old man, but that we say, God, I am a new creation. I am a new creature, and I can and I will regulate or come back to the standard of this relationship, because that is what the Lord is calling for. Relationship, you guys. Relationship. It may sound elementary to some people, but I'm telling you, there's a foundational message that will save our lives, our ministries, marriages, finances, and everything else. Everything else. Right? So we look oftentimes to so many entities, so many things that we think have the answer. The government, you know, other people we forgo first, doctors we go to first at times. Not saying that these people don't have their places and roles, but we have to understand who is the one and only true living God, and literally that we are kingdom citizens. We truly are kingdom citizens. And when we're kingdom citizens, that means that it's a monarchy, that it's an order. It is an order that we respond to a king. And when he speaks, there's no compromising when the Lord speaks, because we're not here on our own behalf, but on the behalf of the one who sent us. And this is what we have to understand. You bring it back to Jesus. You literally look back. You even look back to John the Baptist, like he understood he was preparing the way. Jesus understood. He said, listen, I don't come on my own account. He said he's not doing what he just desires to do. He's doing the will of his father. I'm sure being in, you know, a natural earth suit at times, he was tired, exhausted, and whatever. But still, he said, not my will, but your will be done. Right? So we have to understand that I'm here, not on my own behalf. I'm here as an ambassador for Christ. I'm here for as an ambassador for God. And this is what makes me different. This is what makes me different in whatever mountain of influence the Lord has placed me in. I'm here as an ambassador for God, right? I may be in entertainment, but I'm here for an ambassador for God. I may be in healthcare, but I'm an ambassador for God, right? Maybe in the church system or whatever it is. And I will say the church system, I'm an ambassador for God because not all religious systems, the gathering place, not all, the Lord's not in all of the places, but we have to realize I'm an ambassador for God. I'm not here to make my name great and to get on the stage and run around to make people jump and scream after me. The devil is a liar. But at the end of the day, whose lives are changing? Are we drawing people closer to the Lord or are we pushing them away? Or are we literally just drawing them closer to us so that we may feel validated, so that we may feel like, oh, I'm, you know, big time or whatever it is. I'm being real today. Validation is good for all of us to a certain extent. Everybody wants to be validated. But when it comes to compromising the word of God, compromising our relationship factor with the Lord, that is when it gets dangerous, right? So God wants to know, can I continue to trust you, right? And so when he, again, calls us while we're doing whatever we're doing throughout the middle of the day and he says, pray, or he says, reach out to that person and let them know that I'm thinking about them. Reach out and give them a word of encouragement. Are we so busy finishing whatever is before us that we just don't reach out, not knowing that that person is having suicidal thoughts and literally may end up committing suicide, but because we're in our own, you know, space and time, our own space and time, that we forget to do the will of the Lord, okay? We don't want to get to that place, or we see hurting people hurt, and we just let them hurt. Well, God will heal them. Come on now, you guys. If God has given us the eye to see, you know, something that is insufficient or something that he highlights to us, there's something we can do about it. Pray, provide, whatever it is that we have within our reach that the Lord says do. And so again, I'm talking about God saying, I'm bringing you back to myself, divine order, his order. And so as we begin to talk about this, I just really pray the will of the Father, again, even more over this message and every and anybody that tunes in and listens, that all of our hearts would begin to soften for the Lord even the more. And we understand what even the Bible talks about, how the heart has all these issues of lives and stuff, but we would even say, Lord, restore me. Lord, I want to restore this relationship factor even the more. That you, again, get in back with proper place and you are my first love. First love before spouse, first love before whatever. Really, we have to understand this, okay? And so I'm going to get into this reading and then I'm going to share just what God gave, just a little, just release what he gave even the more after I read this. And then I'm going to, you know, get off of here. And so God began to bring me to Exodus. When Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Exodus, they had, you know, got out of Pharaoh's control. However, there was still a lot of control in their minds, control in their, you know, how they were rebellious and stubborn, that was still there, and that they had forgot over and over again who brought them out of Egypt or bondage. And so in Exodus 31, it talks about, we go lower to kind of to the end of the chapter. It talks about Moses being on Mount Sinai and And it says in 18, when he, they're talking about God, had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And we understand what they're talking about. Moses was up there getting the Ten Commandments. And so if you remember what I just wrote, God gave him what he had spoken to him before. And then he had written on the tablets, right? And then Exodus 32, we're going to jump right into that. This is what I really want us to pay attention to. The golden calf. Verse 1 says this, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, they gathered together before Aaron and said to him, come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. You guys hear that? How arrogant and faithless is that to say? You understand that God parted the Red Sea for you to leave. He worked miracles. All the plagues that happened, and you're in the land of Goshen, untouched, provided for. The death angel passes over. You get out of the land of Egypt, going through the wilderness, supposedly sacrificing unto God, supposedly headed to the promised land. And Moses wants to commune with the Lord. He wants to stay one-on-one so he can guide and lead. And the people that have literally just been brought out of a level of bondage, because we understand when a person has some type of oppression physically, oh, it affects just more than the physical. Mental, emotionally, spiritually, all types of things are affected. But God brought them out, right, physically. This physical oppression they were under. And then the people say, now, when they saw that Moses delayed, my God, how many times have, you know, a person may thought, God, you're not moving fast enough. I don't know if I believe this. Oh, my goodness, what's happening? What's happening? And then we allow, you know, the opening of the enemy to come right in. And guess what begins to happen? We begin to what? At times, create idols. Well, he's taking too long, so I'm going to figure this thing out myself. I'm going to make this happen. And so it says, and guess what Aaron did? My God, it says, so Aaron replied to them, take off the gold rings that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the gold rings that were in their ears, brought them to Aaron, and he took, this is Aaron, the high priest, the gold from their hands and fashioned it with an engraving tool and made it to a molten calf. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So I'm going to stop right there, because sometimes, again, when I was talking about earlier, the pressures of people, the pressures of we need this and we need that. And you know, the Lord has not consulted with you to release it, and you release it. You release it anyway, prematurely. You release things. And guess what you have done? You have created an idol. You've literally compromised your relationship factor. You compromise even the reverential fear of the Lord. And so it says that now when Aaron saw the molten calf, he built an altar before it, my God. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. So they got up early the next day and offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings. And then the people sat down to eat and drink, and they got up to play. In the Amplified version says, shamefully, without moral restraint. Okay, and so the interesting thing is Moses up, communing with the Lord, getting instructions for them, helping to lead and guide them out of the wilderness, he was hoping, right? And then but they're down there saying, oh, he's been delayed. Oh, God's been delayed. So I'm about to, what else can I have faith in? What else can I trust in? We got to understand that God does not fail. And this is why I said, if some people have been discouraged and they felt like things have been delayed, we've all have felt discouraged at times. We've all have felt like, what is going on? Why is this delayed? We cannot go to another thing as our source or as our, you know, means. We can't do it because then we what? We make it an idol. We begin to make this an idol. Because in your mind, subconsciously, what begins to happen is you may not say it out loud, but you may think, oh, I can't rely on God. You may think, I can't trust him. Does he see what's happening? Does he know that the date was the first and it's now the ninth? Right? We begin to have sometimes these thoughts that come in our head, but God is saying, I'm not delayed. Trust me. You think about it. Literally, Moses was about to come down. I want you guys to realize that. The Lord did speak to him and he came down. And he told him what was happening. But it says the Lord had, you know, signed it with his finger on the tablet. So that means that a breakthrough was about to occur for them. They were about to have more clarity, but they couldn't wait. They were impatient. And they said, listen, he's delayed. Make us a golden calf. Make us something. We need something. We got to see something. And this is the dangers of when we rely only on our five senses. Five senses are not bad. We need it to do things throughout the earth. But when they become more superior, or they become, you know, hey, I have to see how I feel before I, what do I see? I can't do it. That's a spit in the face to God. It really is. Because you're saying, I'm not going to walk by faith. Right? So we have to return back to God and say, I repent, forgive me, God. This relationship factor, I want to get it back together. And so it says in verse 7, then the Lord said to Moses, go down at once, for your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten calf and have worshiped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. God was upset. He's like, all these things that I've done for you over the years, when you didn't have anything and somebody reached out and said, you know, I feel led to do this, but you've forgotten everything. Because of this one situation, because of you advancing to a new level and a little more pressure, forgot everything. Right? And so we have to return back to the Lord in this way to say, God, I restore my faith. And like the man in the Bible said, you know, we brought the son that needed to be healed. Son was possessed And he said, Lord, help my unbelief. He was like, I want to believe. Help my unbelief. Like, I believe whatever's in my heart, the issues of life, whatever's in there, Lord, love it out. Help me because I want to believe. I want this relationship factor to be stronger than a religious factor that may make me compromise because of appeasing man, of trying to please man. And so I'm not going to read all of this because I'm going to jump to another scripture, but it talks about how Moses was really upset. And it says, let me just read this part right now. Okay, so verse 15, then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of testimony in his hand, tablets that were written on both sides. They were written on one side and on the other. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. Now, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there's a sound of battle in the camp. But Moses said, it is not the sound of the cry of victory, nor is it the sound of the cry of defeat. But I hear a sound of singing. Then it says about Moses' anger, 19. And as he approached the camp, he saw the calf in the dancing. Moses' anger burned and he threw the tablets from his hands and smashed them at the foot of the mountain. Then pay attention to this. Then Moses took the calf they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the surface of the water and made the Israelites drink it. That is anger. That is absolute anger. And so, long story short, Moses addressed Aaron like, what have you done? Like, you're the high priest over the people while I'm communing with God. What have you done? And he talks and he says, well, they wanted something. They needed something. You know, you were taking long and they said, hey, we need something. And he provided it. And then Moses began to let them know, you know, he began to rebuke them and he began to rebuke them. And then not only did he begin to rebuke them, but he began to say, whoever is with the Lord, you come on my side. And those who are not were killed. There was a slaughter, you guys. It talks about, let me just see. I'm going to, because I want you guys to be able to read this as well. So I want you guys to look at this. Verse 25. Now, when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control to the point being an object of mockery among their enemies. I want you to realize that there's an account that us as leaders, we have to take, you know, accountability. There's something that we're going to have to account for if anybody is following us, as God has given us a shepherd, anything. And so Aaron had a mandate. He was told, all right, you know, I'll be back. You cover these people. And it says, now when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control. He's going to have to write account to the Lord for that. So it then talks about, and then it says, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all of the sons of Levi, the priestly tribe, gathered together to him. He said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, every man strap his sword on his thigh and go back and forth from gate to gate throughout the camp, and every man kill his brother and every man his friend and every man his neighbor, all who continue pagan worship. So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed, and about 3,000 men of the people were killed that day. So there was a separation. And it says, dedicate yourself today to the Lord, for each man has been against his own son and his own brother in an attempt to escape execution, so that he may restore and bestow his blessings onto you this day. So I wanted to read that because there definitely was, you know, an offense to the Lord. There was a disrespect done to the Lord by turning away because Moses taking too long. So an idol was made. But then God said, well, whoever's with me through Moses, come. And whoever's going to continue pagan worship, no longer. And the reason the cleansing had to happen, again, God is bringing us back to himself. It says, so that he may restore and bestow his blessings on us this day. This is what the Lord wants to do. He wants to bestow his blessings back on us as we continue to come back to him. And so I'm going to read this really quickly. Exodus 34 talks about the two tablets being replaced. And then it talks about Moses was able to go back and he was able to get the tablets that were written. The Lord began to have him rewrite. He began to rewrite the tablets. And then what I want you guys to really begin to see is this. So Exodus 34. So I want you guys to read this stuff. Read the end of 31. I want you guys to read Exodus 34. And then I want you guys to really digest this thing. And then it talks about who God is. And then it talks about, so it says Moses was able to go back to get he was able to get the Ten Commandments done again, right? And then God said he will restore the covenant. So in 34 verse 10, it says, then God said, behold, I'm going to make a covenant. This is a new this is a covenant that he made with the people that said, okay, I'm turning back toward you. Before all your people, I will do wondrous works, miracles such as have not been created or produced in all of the earth, nor among any of the nations, and all the people among you, and all the people who live shall see the working of the Lord. For it is a fearful and awesome thing that I'm going to do with you.
this part, 11. Be sure to observe that I am commanding you what I'm commanding you this day. Behold, I will drive out the Amorite before you, the Canaanite, Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite, and the Jebusite. Watch yourself so that you do not make a covenant, a solemn agreement treaty with the inhabitants of the land into which you are going, or it will become dangerous, a dangerous trap for you. But you shall tear down and destroy their pagan altars, smash in pieces their sacred pillars, and it talks about and cut down their ashram, for you shall not worship any other god. So any gods, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous and passionate God, demanding what is rightfully and uniquely His. I'm going to stop there. That stops at 14. So Exodus 34, 14, it stopped there. And so I wanted to share this with you because we do have to understand that we serve a jealous God. And I love how it said, God demanding what is rightfully and uniquely His. Again, we belong to Him. So this is why that relationship factor got to be stronger than this religious factor, in the sense where if God tells you to do something, guess what? There's no second guessing it. There's no second guessing it. We can't let the traditions make the word of God of non-effect. We can't allow that to happen. And so I'm just going to share this really quick. So God was just saying, again, let go of the idols. What are we giving more time than we give to God? Again, let us spend time with Him all throughout the day, not just 5-10 minutes in a day and we forget about Him and He gets literally 5 times 7, 35 minutes a week. No, we want to spend time with Him. When He speaks to us, we say, Father, yes. And so what are we putting before God? It could be social media. It can be, I need validation. So whatever they say I got to do. No. Return back to the Lord, meaning He will give us what we need, and we have to keep Him first, because He opens doors. He allows us to increase. He gives us resources and provision. We have to heal and come into what the Lord, we have to heal by coming unto the Lord. Come unto Him. Allow Him to heal those who are weary, you know, those who are carrying heavy burdens. We have to come to God, because that's when healing starts happening. So if a person needs to be healed because they're seeking validation, why? Because when they were a kid, they never got validated. They were rejected, abandoned, mishandled by parents that didn't know how to raise them, or their parents weren't there, so they were raised by other people, or religious systems they were mishandled by, or past relationships where they divorces and they were abused and sexual abuse, all these things. So we have to allow God to heal that part, so that this, the relationship factor with Him is stronger than anything, you guys. And so we cannot give up on God again, because we feel like, just like they said, Moses is delayed. Can't rely on me delayed. We can't say God's delayed, okay? God will give us what we need. And when we understand this, we have to make sure that within all of this, coming back to God, making sure He's our first love, that He will redeem, and that our minds must be renewed. I'm going to do a whole nother thing coming up soon about this. Mind renewal and healing is necessary. Romans 12. We have to understand that. We have to come from the renewing of the mind, from the old man, the old creature, creation, to the new creature, creation. We have jumped over. We have crossed over to the new man. But are we taking the time to go through that healing process so that we can walk completely in whom this new person is that God said we are, which is in Him? You guys, I pray that this literally has blessed you today. I pray that the order of the Lord is just beginning to make more sense. And this is not coming off as a condemning word, but if anything, the Holy Spirit may convict you, but it's all in love. It's all in love because God is saying there's more that I have for you. There's more that I'm calling you to. And so this is in whatever capacity that it's in. He could be shifting you from one thing to another thing, opening up another door that you, in something that you haven't been in before. But it comes with this sacred relationship, this connection that we have with him first. So he can say, I can trust you to not take my glory. I can trust you to not lead my people astray. Remember, they're his people. Whoever God gives us the opportunity to lead, to encourage, whomever's looking to this, I have to be accountable as to what I say. So remember, they're his people first. Let us be so sensitive and reverence our Father and come back to him. I pray this message blessed you tremendously. Lord, touch us so much so, even the more, that we know that you're here with us, Lord, and that you love us so much. Let us rely on you like never before. Heal what needs to be healed. Spirit, soul, and body, mind, will, and emotions, restore us back, Father, to proper place, God, as we come back to you. I pray and say these things in Jesus' name. All right. I pray that you guys are encouraged. As I love to say, remember to renew your mind. It is the gold mine. I love you guys. Bye.
Empower me with Aerie.